Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our show, the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. Here we are on Monday morning. Neil, good morning.
Good morning.
And we welcome you all to our show today. Glad to have our callers and listeners joining us today. We're continuing our discussion that we began on Wednesday on buried past lives. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. I want to let the first-time callers that are waiting in the queue know that we do get to your calls, but it's about 15 to 20 minutes into the show. So we will be getting to your calls. Please do hold your place in the queue rather than hanging up and calling back because you'll lose your place. So I do take callers in the order that they are received. So just hang out and listen to our discussion. Perhaps you'll want to make a comment or ask a question about the discussion, or maybe you'll have a question that you would like to answer that you would like answered psychically about your personal life. So either way, we will be taking your calls. We do love when people join us on Facebook, on Twitter, and right here on Blog Talk Radio. So if you would follow our show, we would greatly appreciate it. And what else, Neil? 562-596-7818 is Neil's number. Inquiries regarding longer discussions will be directed to the phone number if you send by email, because Neil does not email. He doesn't use the computer or the internet, so you will be reaching me online. Okay, so we were discussing, Neil, buried past lives on the last show, talking about the fact that most of us don't remember our past life history, and sometimes we have deja vu that might start energy towards the remembrance of a past life, but most of us don't really know how to access them besides seeing the psychic. And, you know, something I was thinking about that's interesting regarding relationships we have with people that are karmic in our lives, and how sometimes there'll be shared details, like, you know, someone might have an aunt named Janet and the other person has a mother named Janet, and there might be similar experiences that occur in the lives of individuals as they move forward through life. And those experiences or people kind of clue us into the fact that there was a past life shared. I know that happens frequently when you deal with clients or people that you had tribal past lives with. You and I actually have family members' names in common, certain experiences that happen, which lend themselves to our past life history.
Yeah, it's true. The situations that we are coming from, which we revisit through actually reverse birthing, going backward in time to where some of these tribal energies and family energies are connected. It doesn't even have to be family or tribal. The connections can be just in other forms of relationships, does extend back from past lives.
The imprint of those past lives in the experiences in the current incarnation.
Yeah, considering that there are coincidences, this is just random connections that can happen in life, the aspect of how to really clearly define what is definitively a past life connection from opposed to something that's just mere coincidence, there is some scientific if you will, scientific analysis that one can do in the cosmic realm to validate what is random from what is actually a past life connection. When we get into the past life connection energies, we also think to ourselves, you know, we talk about the term past life regression. A French educator, Alain Cardet, he wrote a book called The Spirit's Book, in Heaven and Hell. He talked about past life regressions in the books. I myself wrote a densely psychological novel called Delusions, which involved a lot of past life energy themes in that book. The problem with kind of delusions, as I talked about in that book, is that on a therapeutic level, a counselor or someone who believes that they can bring somebody to a past life experience can also oftentimes elicit statements and memories that sort of are suggestive. So what they do is they stir up a person's imagination, and thereby delusions are created that aren't really actual, but they're based upon maybe intentionally or unintentionally placed statements on the part of the therapist. To really understand the past life, you have to kind of go through not just hypnosis. I mean, hypnosis and suggestion can help. Visual creativity and visual journeys can help. But what they tend to also do, and you've got to be careful of this, is that they can bring just attitudes up from the imagination.
Right.
And then our imaginations are triggered to our emotions, and then we really believe we're experiencing a past life information.
Right, because we hear a lot on the show people saying they have certain past life experiences, and I'm not always sold on the fact that those experiences are legitimate. One, because I think that it's hard to find someone who's a really authentic past life regressionist. And two, I think we're influenced by our imagination.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, what we're trying to do is we're trying to recover a memory from our soul, from our soul's experience, not just from our immediate brain experience, which can be influenced by anything, our imagination, movie, just anything.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I cut you off.
There's a clarity between moving backward into a past life memory that's very real as opposed to something that is just fabricated from our imagination.
And we were talking on the last show about dreams, the importance of dreams in terms of opening up our past life memories. Now, many of our dreams are psychological, but when we begin to have those astral experiences, we can start to analyze those dreams and pull remnants of our past lives, or put remnants of our past lives together to identify what really occurred in those past lives, rather than just a simply psychological dream revealing that, of course.
Yeah. I it gets a little complicated because the terminology is cryptomnesia or confabulations that occur in our mind from a combination of experiences and knowledge, imagination, what we've gathered from the media. I mean, we can easily seduce ourselves or be seduced into thinking that we are experiencing past life energy. So what I've done in my own self-studies and in my connections with clients is that I take people on a journey that extracts them from their immediate surroundings, that extracts them from their immediate energies. And one way of doing that is to activate, first of all, the third eye. Not the mind eye, or not the brain imagination, but literally the third eye. I was doing that with a client just recently, and the technique, first of all, is to get the third eye to open up. So the way you get the third eye to open up is to literally close your eyes. And one crude exercise, I say crude because there's nothing to it, is you start to rub your closed eyes, your eyelids, with the joint in your second fingers. You just work it in a...
So you start seeing stars, essentially, right?
You start seeing stars. You start seeing energy. You do it in a counterclockwise, basically, about motion, rotation. And what you'll soon begin to experience is the color blue, hopefully. And the color blue is the color of the third eye. It means your third eye has been opened.
Blue-purple.
Bluish-purple.
Because blue isn't blue, the cobalt blue. Uh-huh. Wasn't blue with this chakra?
Well, lighter blue.
So we're talking about like a shade of, just for our listeners, the blue that they're supposed to be seeing is like an indigo almost.
Indigo, deep blue.
Okay.
The lighter blue, the kind you see in the sky, that's more of the throat chakra.
Okay.
And we get those energies open to such an extent that when you're rubbing your eyes, you tend to start to see that blue color. That means your third eye is open. That means you've awakened your third eye. So you awaken your third eye, and I'm talking about the physicality of doing it. I mean, some of us can do it just through sheer energy work. We don't have to rub our eyes to get the third eye opened. But you have to be careful, because when you think you've got your third eye open by not rubbing your eyes or doing such things, you're really just opening up your imagination. And your imagination, even though it's linked to the third eye, it's tricky. It can be quite deceptive. And all it does is just stimulate our imagination. So you get that third eye open by this technique. And what will occur from the cobalt blue, you'll either see a yellow thereafter or a red.
So that's third and second.
Third and third chakra.
Third chakra.
The grounding. It's the grounding of the energy that you're looking at. So it means that your third eye opening is now grounded to the earth, meaning that you're about to experience your past life encounters on the planet Earth. Sometimes it's even between the planet, and between the lifetimes. But the red suggests that there's going to be a grounding of the third eye. And then the yellow is a sort of birth canal energy, because, you know, we're fed through the third chakra. And that chakra...
So like dental support, the navel energy.
And what it means, too, is that when we venture out into the astral realm to experience our past lives, oftentimes we literally leave our bodies. We may not think we do, but we do. And we need to have that sort of cosmic umbilical cord connected to our sleeping bodies, or we can get to severe difficulties. And it can get to the point where you can't even find your way back to your body. Like, you know, when you wake up and you're locked and you're frozen and you're
that dead. Happened to me last night.
Oh, it did?
Yep.
Oh,
yeah, kidding. I did. No, I did. I forgot to mention it to you. Yeah, it was sleep paralysis. I couldn't move. It was scary.
Well, that's explained by you. Well, on one level, you're waking up before your astral body comes back in. So there's a root interruption. So your body is waking up and your astral body can't get in, like the door closing. So until that adjustment is made and you kind of sweep your astral body back into your body, which typically does happen more often than not. If it doesn't, then you can go into a coma. You can freeze and stop breathing. You can do all kinds of things.
Right.
But
something to look forward to.
Yeah, basically speaking, it centers itself. You relax in some form because the instincts are too strong. And the fact is, you're not ready to die yet. So it's just, it's like stumbling and falling, but you don't break anything. You just land. So, and then other times there can be an astral villain or inhabitant of the astral realm that is stopping you from coming in. All they can really do is aggravate you. Your body, your astral body will eventually come back into your body, but that's why people wake up and they go, oh my God, I felt like something was over me, a dark shadow or something, a creature. Sometimes that's your own body coming back in, and you're literally seeing it coming back in. It's the shadow of your astral body. other times it's a demon or a negative entity that was in your astral field while you were out astral traveling, and your third eye was able to capture it. But those are the negative experiences. We don't really want to get into that today. We're talking about the positive experiences of coming back in, because your astral body, of course, is out there moving around, going to past lives, re-experiencing the energy.
And of course, the job of the individual is to start to interpret the information that the third eye perceives, which is another,
yeah.
I mean, it's another...
Well, the memories...
And it's complicated. It's not easy.
Complicated, but the memories are indistinguishable from the memories based on your current life. You might speak a different language, and you can hear yourself speaking a different language. You may be in a part of the world that you've never visited in your lifetime, and yet it's so vivid. Sometimes it's easy to experience this in a dream, because you're actually outside of your body and your astral body's doing all the work for you. But if you're going to have a conscious past life regression and go into a conscious channel of past life energy, then it's a little bit harder to distinguish, except that if you're awake during the time, you're going to be experiencing things that are not at all connected to anything currently that validates.
But sometimes,
the your life.
Right, but sometimes that type of dream is also when you're in conference with a guide, evaluating your current life circumstances, and those dreams may not have aspects of our current life either. I mean, there's a lot of symbolism that goes on. People that we don't know, because they are guides coming through in the dream. So differentiating between whether we're, in spiritual conference versus having a past life experience is another,
oh, yeah,
another challenge.
Yeah, and I've had experiences where even my astral body met up with another astral body or a person that had died that had not yet to come back to the earth. And my experience is they use my astral body to carry themselves into a past life that they had.
Wow.
And or that they're caught in. And so I'm actually experiencing the past life of another subject other than myself. And then that gets a little tricky as to how to distinguish that, because you will feel like you've been with somebody else during those times.
Okay, Neil, we've got several callers in the queue and only 40 minutes left, so we probably should get to them if you don't mind. And caller from 661 area code, I don't know if that's a Skype number. It's really weird. We've had this blocked number calling and then dropping out as soon as I say we have callers in the queue. It's odd. I wonder who that is. Okay, 780 is next. 661, please press 1 to speak with us. Who's this?
Hey, Neil, it's Jay calling from Canada. Long time no hear. Talking to you.
Okay, yeah. Don't forget, always address both of us. We're both doing the show, so
course,
our
yeah.
energy
it's
fields
Kristen.
Are like, yeah, our energy fields, we best work as a team, so that's just to let our callers know that the energy has to be in unison. Go ahead.
Yes. My question is regarding problem with relationships right now. I'm talked to my dad in a long time, and looking for a relationship is kind of interesting right now. Just wondered if it's could be a past life stuff I'm going through stuff, or is it just time of the season astrology wise? I'm just trying
to
figure this one out.
Well, I mean, of course, astrology is part of the whole picture, but this isn't really. I mean, Neil doesn't do astrology readings, nor do I. I mean, it's numerology
right.
And psychic stuff. Can't Jake, what's your birthday again?
March 24th.
And the year?
1964.
64. Gosh, for some reason I'm not. 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, I know he's compounded, but I didn't remember that birthday at all.
What the your journey, Jay, is wow, manufactured relationship. Challenges. Your master number equates most significantly to the working out of relationship? You know, you've come back here, Jay, to part of your, I mean, we all come back to work out relationships. That's basically right. Some of the core issues of our planetary visit. But you come through with this very, very significantly. Not only, you know, your master number is 2, you have a 2 in your day, you have a repetition of 4 going on. So the attitude of this is that the heart, the issues of the heart, the balance, the emotional stability, as opposed to the issues of sexuality, where we get into a lot of also ego problems about fear, aggression, dominance, trust, mistrust, those issues become quite predominant when you're dealing with the second chakra themes, Jay. And so locked in that, I'm not sure, you were talking about a current relationship, but just brief me again on this current problem so I can recollect my thought from where I left off.
No problem. It's just a relationship with my dad. We have been talking for a bit, and me looking one for, you know, even a spiritual relationship is interesting right now for myself. I just wondered, I mean, you get to a point where it's like, okay, how much work do you have to more do to whatever to attract that other person? So
what specifically is the problem, though? Can you get a little bit more specific?
Well, basically, how much work do you have to do in order to get anywhere now? Spiritually, anyway, how much work do you have to do?
Right, but with the relationship with your father, I mean, what is the bone of contention? What's the point of contention with the father?
Oh, I haven't been talked, and I know he hasn't talked to me. I tried to talk to him, but he hasn't returned anything. No calls, nothing back.
Yeah, you know, there's got to be a mutual consensus between father and son, and one of our problems in terms of human existence is that fathers really aren't mature enough to have children. The issues about having a child comes up, and they're not ready for it. I mean, their second chakra was ready for it, obviously, but their 5th and 6th chakras aren't. So the trouble comes in that some fathers, just the potency of their energy, the ego of their energy, is they have children, but they're guided by a sexuality in that respect. The other part of that is that they can't rise to a higher chakra, to a higher emotional chakra, to bring that relationship to a more in-depth energy. And that's one of the problems that I think you're experiencing, because it seems like you're yearning for that, you're reaching out to that, and yet you're encountering a stunted father figure. Well, that stunted father figure, I believe, is because there's a certain blockage preceding his heart chakra. So he's at a lower level of energy, and that communication can't surface. So what you have to do, Jay, is you either have to let go of that communication process and activate a higher language with your own inner father energy, or activate that by experiencing how you feel as a father to a younger child, whether you have that child as your blood or not. The child could just be somebody in your neighborhood. The child could be somebody you volunteer to help or tutor. In other words, and you can also have dialogue with your inner child. So I don't always depend on a human form to help me actualize myself. Sometimes I have to go inside and find other energy fields to work off of. But it becomes an inner journey, and I appreciate the fact that you're bringing that up, Jay, because I think it's one worthy of your own evolution on this planet. So what I'm saying is, if your father, you know, you can write him a letter and express to him how you really feel and let him tear it up or keep it, or you can also and or go on and complete the inner dialogue in terms of how you will recreate the father within yourself.
Okay, Jay, and we do have to go on to other callers, but hopefully that's helped.
Yes, thank you much for the insight. So we'll see if I get any hits on this one. So I'm just exploring it.
All right.
Sixth Avenue. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Keep in touch. Keep in touch, Jay. Let us know how it goes.
562-596-7818. Okay. That's the number to contact Neil for further conversation. All right. 517. Good morning.
Hi. This is Liz.
Hi.
And my birthday is 123-79.
123-79. Okay. Hi, Liz. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Michigan.
Okay, Michigan. And what brings you to our show?
I don't know. I just have made some recent changes, and I was just wondering if Neil could get any messages from my spirit guide.
Well, there, you know, one thing that I'm picking up on, Liz, I don't know where it might be placed in your history as we speak, but I'm getting an occupational change. Are you wanting to readjust yourself on an occupational level?
Yeah, I just left my job, and I'm going back to school. So, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So... Okay, so you lost your job because, well, there might be earthly considerations for that, but you lost your job also. It penetrates deeply enough to say that you lost your job on an astral level, meaning that there was a time factor that kicked in to you having to lose your job. So it might have manifested as certain situations, you know, personality, whatever. The manifestation of how it erupted doesn't necessarily connect to a deeper reason that on your time scheme you're supposed to be leaving that job. So I believe that abrupt end, so to speak, occurred on a cosmic level. That means that you're about to enter something new. Now, as we go into the energy of your next job, we're going to be entering the world of communication. So your next job is going to be heightened, thank you, sense of language, communicating, speaking, having to represent yourself on a verbal level. So that's coming up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because.
Go ahead.
Because I'm going to school to get my MSW. So.
Oh,
but I just left my job like a year earlier,
yeah,
just to stay home with the kids and whatnot. But it was kind of a big step for me to leave. So,
well, it was a big step because, you know, I mean, social work, the idea of, you see, you're getting more into the depth of family communication.
I hear family communication in the background.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in that regard, you know, this is where you have to make some harsh evaluations. This is where you have to make some harsh evaluations. And judgment levels. But you do so with the perception of communicating about really what's going on in the dynamics of a family. And I think if you have spiritual awareness and cosmic awareness, you'll even have a higher grasp of communication in terms of what you're going through. But, you know, your child's screaming too much, so I really can't continue with this.
I know. I'm sorry. Go figures. I get on the phone, and that's what happens. So I apologize.
But anyways, we got some validation in the meantime, Liz, that, yes, this is a path you're on. And it's meaningful, and there's much more content than that, but at least we're in agreement as to what's going on in terms of your question with your changes.
All right, Liz, thanks for your call. 562-596-7818 is Neil's number, and Liz, of course, can join us on Blog Talk Radio, on Facebook, on Twitter, etc. Okay, 661 is next, but 504 and 203, please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. Your hands are not raised, so you're not currently in the queue. 504, 203, I'm assuming you want readings? Not pressing one. Okay, 661 area code. Who's this?
Hi, this is Jane. Hi, Kristen. Hi, Neil.
Jane, uh-huh. Hi, Jane. And where are you calling from? What's your birth date, Jane?
Calling from Canada. Date of birth is 180670.
You mean, I'm sorry, 618-70? Reversing it. For...
Yes, right.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, 618-70.
Yeah, and I just want to state, don't ever add a zero where it doesn't need to be. Like you said, 06, that adds an energy of loss. So it's a vibration. Just say the month with the zero. But there is a zero at the end of the month. I mean, at the end of the year. 618-70, 15-25,
32-5. Yeah.
Like the last caller.
Same as yours.
And she is
45
years old. What's your question, Jane?
Well, I want to know why a female at work is creating a lot of drama as far as me and a male coworker. This female is actually a supervisor and she's been trying to intimidate me in front of others. And she acts very immature. She's younger than I am. And she's got a very big ego. And,
Jane, she's recreating in the work field the dynamic of her upbringing. So she's got some real, real difficult emotional problems in her family situation and lacking stability and insight, she's taking that drama into the working place. And she's frustrated because she's unresolved in her energies. And so she's recreating her family structure in the workplace. I mean, who knows? I mean, she may have problems with mom and dad. They may be a divorce. There may have been some, you know, something's going on in there to where her brain has found an illusion to her family situation. She's recreating it in the workplace, and she's setting, in her commanding position, she's setting the stage so she could work out her emotional conflicts. And so what happens, people who are very skillful at this, they manipulate things to such an extent that they can take a little drop of energy and turn it into a big story, and suddenly you feel like you're swept up and being accused or being involved in something that is way out of proportion, and you can't do anything right. They're always on your back. They're criticizing you. They're accusing.
Yeah.
And it all comes from this story, Jane, comes from a real life situation. But of course, it's got its underhandedness involved in a past life, which this individual brought into this lifetime, and now is continuing on the stage of in the occupational field. Now, the problem, though, that gets a little bit intricate, is that you might share that past life with this individual and your coworker too. So we get into these tribal zones that, occupational-wise, we're also involved in the tribal consciousness of all the participants in one common area of a past life. Now, that oftentimes happens. Other times, we just pull into somebody's energy and we just become a part of it, but there's got to be some connection there. Now, that takes a little bit more analysis and in-depth conversation to figure out what the dynamics are and why they're happening. I'm getting a 3-year zone with you. I don't know why. How long have you worked at this particular job?
Over 9 years. And it's funny, you're right, because I used to work with her at another job. And I feel like she's trying to recreate a situation that happened in a past job with another male coworker, and she's kind of recreating a situation with this male coworker that I don't even talk to at this job. Yeah. So I don't know what.
Well, you know, that's what's happening. I mean, there are ways, Jane, to work this out on a cosmic level. Sometimes when I work with clients, not being initially exposed to the area at hand, but you can work out what you can work energy out with a person's energy field where the structure of their environment will change because their inner structure has changed. So sometimes by working on your inner structure, you can change the dynamics and the interactions of what you're experiencing on the outside of yourself. And that's always intriguing and interesting to do because that's where a lot of the energy work is involved in how we can influence our environment. Otherwise, you know, you have to examine this in terms of what is the pure line of energy that's going on that you were meant by destiny to experience with this person. We'd have to go into more analysis, get their birth date and things like that. That would be helpful. Mm-hmm. And just the whole energy. Incidentally, Jane, what happened when you were 32 years old?
32?
In 2002.
I can't remember exactly that far back.
Well, okay, that's okay. I just, if you don't have it on hand in your memory, that's fine. But maybe after the show, you can think about it. You had a karmic energy then. You are on a multiple of 5 right now by 8. And 8 is your higher transcendent number in 1970, as it is also in your day of 8. 8 times 5 is, no, you're on a multiple of 9. Sorry, 9. 9 times 5 is 45. So you're on a multiple of 9, and that would be the accumulation of your day, the 18th. So you are in a change of energy right now. And you've been there 9 okay. years. So there is a change going on. You've got to be careful because this change could precipitate a dismissal that could occur within a year. But again, that's not fate. That's just an idea that's popping in my head as a possibility.
Okay.
But again, it just takes a little bit more in depth to get into the real nitty gritty of your journey in this situation.
Okay. Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You very much.
Take care.
Okay.
All right. I wonder if Jane and Jay are, they know each other. They're both from Canada.
I know Jane and Tarzan do, but I don't know about Jane and Jay.
Uh-huh. That was just, so funny, you forgot to laugh.
You forgot? Yeah.
I forgot.
You need to go into past life regression.
I guess. Okay, 504, are you wanting a reading? Because you don't have one for us. Are you just listening, 504?
Yeah.
You are next. Okay.
Just listening.
So we have. All right.
Yeah, the idea of looking deeply into the psychic world, and this is after all the psychic show, cannot always be answered by just blunt statements. I mean, blunt statements are good. There's a place for them. But if you're really looking, and I think it's intriguing to look deep into energies, I think that's very important because you're never going to really understand and grasp why you're on the planet and why you're even asking the question. Sometimes people will just ask me, am I going to get this? Am I going to get that? I just want to know. I don't need all the
narrative, yeah, that goes along with it.
You know, that's fine. That's fine. I mean, there's nothing. Yeah, I mean, I can go there, but I don't know if it's, I don't, you know, it's not, there's something missing in that. It's like you went to a movie, you go, what did you think of the movie? It was good. Okay. You liked it? Yeah, it was good. Next, okay, any other questions? I mean, it's just.
Right, there's a lack of depth. So if people are journeying through life looking for a quick answer, short answer, am I getting this? Is this going to happen? Then there's only, It's a superficial level that, not to say that the questions aren't valid, that's not my point, but getting more deeply into the answers and the whys hows.
I'm more of an instructor of theory and motivation and preparation as to why we've come and what's going on. I mean, I like to get into the meat of the issue. more or less.
I thought you were a vegetarian.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. Well,
the portobello of the issue.
Yeah, well, you know, well, you know, there are, you know, the beets of life are also nuts.
That's right.
And things. So to get to the nut of the issue, biologically speaking, the whole process, it's very important. I mean, sometimes we do want a quick stop, and we just need to know. And I think that
there's nothing wrong with a quick answer in some cases, but sometimes the answers require a more detailed explanation. And, you know, one benefits from.
I think so.
A more in-depth analysis,
but
I would think.
I understand sometimes the immediacy of getting an answer. I you know, don't give me the long-term answer. Am I getting that job? You know, I need to know because I've got quick decisions I've got to make. And I need your guidance as a psychic. Where am I going to get it or not? I think that can be legitimate. I mean, sometimes, you know, if you're in a train crash, you're not going to sit there on the way to the train crash and go, I wonder why the train is off the track. That's not a question. You know,
well, some people would. I don't know.
But no, I mean, I don't want to minimize the importance of short-term answers. I think they are important too. I think we're just trying to fill space here between our calls. Do we have another call?
We do.
Okay.
Good morning, or afternoon, depending on your location. Who's this? Hello, 203.
Hello. Oh, hi. I'm sorry. This is Pat.
71253. Pat, hi.
Hi. How are you both?
Good, thank you. 71253. I knew she was pounded. How's everything going? Pat's a caller that we've been talking to for quite a while, and she's had some issues with living situation, job, your caretaker. She's the one that has a sleep problem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard to hear you if you could just speak right into your receiver, Pat.
Okay, I just turned speaker off. Is that better?
That's much better.
Oh, good. Okay.
We probably sound like we're in a tunnel, but that's okay.
Yeah. That's okay. It's been a roller coaster, and I'm leaving the job that I just got 2 months ago. And I have a new job, and I think it's Leaves a Charm. And actually, Neil, I think you may have told me about this one a long, long, long time ago. I don't know if you want me to give you information or if you just want to tell me what you see.
Yeah,
about
go ahead. No, go ahead.
For the sake of time.
Well, I was going through being shown the house, and I saw a book, Navy. And I know someone told me that I'd be taking care of a gentleman that was in the Navy. And I'm pretty sure it was you, Neil. This was like almost, I don't know how many months ago, a long time ago. And this appears to be maybe the one that's going to work. And also, I almost feel like I should just stop working for this woman. She's some science and giving me a really, really hard time, and I'm just at the end of my rope with this. Anyway, whatever you want to comment on.
Are you living in the home? Because I know the last employment you had was involved in living in the home you were caretaking in. Are you living in this person's home?
Yes. I've been given my own apartment here.
So you have an apartment. Is that improved?
Well, it's better, but... It's better, but the Christian Scientist, I wasn't told how ill she was, and she has a life-threatening situation, and she's just fought me the whole way out of almost like being a child and a brat. She will not. She sabotages everything, and legally, I'm in a tough place, liability. And anyway, I'm at the end of it, but her daughter went away, and it's almost like she's pushing to make me just go nuts and have a fit so the daughter will have to come back from vacation.
You're in a convoluted kind of family past life dynamic where you're having to resolve issues, help, cure, remedy, assist while you're going through turmoil. So the question, Pat, is how much karmic responsibility do you have to any given situation before you can leave and be free of karma because you've completed the energy, as opposed to having to stay in it because there's still karma you need to work out.
Okay.
It seems like you're at a point of sheer frustration, and you're irritable, and you're frustrated over the personality dynamic between you and this person who happens to be a Christian Scientist. So
yeah.
I don't know, how long have you been working with her?
Almost 2 full months, and I have till the 13th, only 2 more weeks, but my back just went out. I think it was from stress. My back has never been like this in my life. I just went for x-rays, but she's pushing it so much that it's almost like she's not letting me take care of her at all. And what's happened in the last week is that she's developed ulcers, and these are life-threatening. But you know what? I mainly want to see if you see this other man that I'm heading towards taking care of. Is this, I'm curious if this is the one that you saw.
Yeah, I think it is, Pat.
Okay.
I think it is.
Wow.
And I think it is, because I recall, and this is probably what's surfacing now. Now, do you have any kind of contract to where you have to fulfill those last 2 weeks?
No, I don't. And the daughter's been really great and gracious and grateful. But the woman, the daughter went away on vacation. So I really feel, I'd be, you know, really leaving her in the lurch if I say, I can't do anymore. And I have the feeling this is what the mother's trying to do to get the daughter to come back from vacation.
Well, you know, you got to be careful. If it's only 2 weeks, I mean, I understand she's developing ulcers, it sounds so toxic, you've got back problems you never had before. But if we're talking about 2 weeks, I've got to be very careful as to how I counsel you, because those last two weeks, I don't think they're going to kill you. You might have to take a breath, Pat, and regroup so you can sustain those last 2 weeks and not leave her alone. I mean, you know, to abandon ship just because there's difficulties is not the best avenue.
You're right. I needed to hear that.
Yeah, I would say if it's 2 more weeks, you know, do it. Be there for her and then appropriately make your exit.
Yeah,
but
I needed to hear that. Thank you.
That's what I would suggest. Because I wouldn't want you to leave 2 weeks prior to that and then carry that karma into your new area because you still have something to work out. So I would cautiously suggest that you stay 2 more weeks, and then this other one seems like the one that we were talking about.
Okay, Pat.
Okay.
Well, let us know how things evolve.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, it's like that old, what's that, Know When to Fold, Know When to, who's that guy?
Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers.
The Gamblers, the song.
The Gambler, who's now got Alzheimer's.
No.
Oh, it doesn't?
You're thinking of, you have Alzheimer's.
Oh, Glenn Campbell.
Glenn Campbell. God. Well, we are diagnosing.
Well, no.
All the
no,
country singers on the show today. Let's go through others and
Kenny Rogers.
Let's see if we can assign them some illnesses.
No.
He does not have Alzheimer's.
No, and I should know better because I had a client who was his doctor.
That's right.
The
voice
doctor.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Who's left the earth, but there was a very wonderful man.
Right.
And
he's a great, you know, Kenny Rogers is a very good singer.
Oh, yeah.
He beats Dolly Parton. I mean, I like Dolly Parton a lot, of course. But, I mean, you know, his voice is sustained throughout the years as opposed to declining. So maybe it was that wonderful voice doctor. Voice doctors are very important.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, and I don't want to imply that he's got Alzheimer's. No.
No, that was Glenn Campbell, the Rhinestone Cowboy. Who is another really
Kenny Rogers is healthy and long life and blessing, blessing, blessing. Okay, so
I'm going to write
this one off. You got to know when to, when you're in a situation, sometimes it's difficult as a psychic advisor to say to somebody, you know, jump ship now, got to get out now, as opposed to, no, it's not time yet.
Right.
And so it puts a lot of responsibility on a reader to know you don't want somebody to stay so long that there's harm to them. You know, I would never intentionally want to do that. But yet if there's energy to work out, and it's just because it's difficult, that doesn't mean you jump ship, you know,
right,
at the same time.
Right. So it's a fine line. Okay. Well, we have another caller, Nathaniel. Hi there, Nathaniel.
Well, he's either eating or he's marching through France.
Hello, are you there?
Hello.
Hello. Hi. What?
Yeah.
We have to ask, what was that noise? What was that? Now, you know, it's really weird today,
you know,
because he's a 2810-1 like the last color, and then we have, you know, the 232-5s preceding him. So there's been a doubling.
Gone into sound effects.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Nathaniel.
It was Jurassic Park.
Oh.
What's going on?
Is it me? Oh, hi.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Was
it was...
There was a lot of swishing and...
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think
That's
I opened
okay.
up the mailbox. I was walking, and I was just walking out to the mailbox. I didn't know
oh.
what I was going to get. I'm sorry.
That's
but,
okay. What's going on?
I have a, let's see, they've made a for disability has made a mistake. They've scheduled a doctor evaluation for Sunday, and I have to tell them and reschedule, so they're going to probably get excited and get an examiner.
Right, because the doctor isn't open today, I'm assuming?
They made an appointment for Sunday, the 9th, and they just told me that was the day, and it ended up being on a Sunday, so I'm not thinking it's a wrong day. They've made an error or something.
Right. So you're wondering about that and how that's going to play out in terms
yeah,
of...
Yeah, that's exactly right, because they could cut off my benefits if I don't go to evaluation by that day, but they have to kind of, you know, reschedule me. I don't know. They called today for another doctor, and I thought it was them. And they told me I had to go tomorrow, but I haven't called them on it. You know, I haven't let them know because I didn't know what to do. It's hard
well,
to actually
you know,
come talk to them.
Nathaniel, I mean, Sunday is a no-brainer. They made a mistake. But if they give
yeah.
you a date to go other than Sunday and they realize their error and they give you a date to go, if it were me, I would go. Disability, thank God you got it, whatever. But I would cooperate with whatever date they give
but
me.
But what if he's, I mean, how could he go to the doctor on a Sunday?
No, I'm saying if they correct their
oh,
error.
Oh, they correct it.
If,
just
no,
go, I see what you're saying. Sorry.
If they correct that, because it was an obvious mistake, and they're not open, so there's you don't have any problem getting that corrected. It's not your fault, and you're not cooperating. But if they give you another date now, aside from Sunday, which they will, I would go on that date. I just would, Nathaniel, because I'd...
Oh, yeah. I was going to go. I was going to go because they cut you off, you know, but I just have to reschedule the date. And, you know, I haven't told them yet, you know.
Oh, we'll get a live person, you know. No. Get you know, as soon as we hang up, get a live person on the phone, make sure it's documented, and get the person's name that you've made a sincere effort to rearrange the date, because you don't want to have any mistaking energy come in that would otherwise sabotage you from getting your benefits.
Yeah.
So I would say to do that, I'll put out, you know, energy, you know, hocus pocus, dominosis. We'll put out some energy here for everything to be smooth and clear and work out. But I think that's just a mistake on their part, obviously.
Okay, well, thank you so both so very much. I'm sorry about the noise and everything earlier.
That's okay. You didn't hear us. We were entertained. Provided some entertainment. Okay, thanks, Nathaniel, for your call.
Okay. Thanks again.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah.
And it was marching to the mailbox. Do we have another caller?
No, we are out of time, in fact.
Oh, so we're out of time, so this is it. So the show is over, huh?
The show is over.
Well, you know, all I can say is happy astral traveling, and may your past lives be entertaining. Hopefully somebody will call us.
Don't delude yourself, folks, into thinking you were something that you weren't.
Yeah.
That's my advice.
But again, if you do...
Only some of us were kings and queens. In past lives.
Yeah. Well, we do happen to land in a past life, and it's a real experience. Make sure you share it with us. We'd love to hear the real life flows of life that take us out of our current realm and to others. Maybe you can gain some insights and share them with us.
Okay. Well, we are back on the air on Wednesday. Topic unknown. I think we're gonna shift gears. So we invite you to join us then. Of course, you may follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. Join us on Facebook, on Twitter, and we appreciate the callers today, the listeners, and we will see or hear from you on Wednesday. Bye-bye.